are back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. He's Scott Manzi. I'm Alex Turco. And we were talking pre-show here, and I just spilled a little bit of beer, so I'm going to grab some napkins. But I think we're both a little bit depressed this week. I'm back in at home, working from home, so I truly feel like this is another quarantine edition. We can't get out of this quarantine. I got the quarantine scruff. The scruff's going. I mean,
yeah,
yeah. The never-ending tunnel that I go back to work, and now I'm back at home again. It's like,
we call it the Sports Bar Podcast Pendulum, because we seem to swing from one side to the other each week when we convene on these airwaves. And yeah, I mean, we went from our most optimistic and fun show we've had in months last week to, well, this week it's, I don't want to say it's doom and gloom, because it's not. We're trying to be middle ground guys here. But we are swinging back in the other direction a little bit more than we were a week ago when so many things just seemed all happy and positive.
So how about this? I love sports so much, just like you love sports. So much so that I go to grab a beer and it has some orange tint at the top, and I put it in a blue koozie, and it was a royal blue koozie.
And I can't do it.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was like, yeah, it's no big deal. I don't care. I'm better than that. And then I was like, I got to switch this koozie. I got to get a new koozie. It's way too orange and blue for me. But, you know, that's how desperate we are. We need it back. And we did get a little bit of sports today, because Pat Mahomes signed a 10-year deal. So he'll be the Chiefs quarterback, goodness gracious, if I could talk, through 2031. Would know what I'm doing tomorrow, but guess what I'll know will be happening in 2030 and 2031? Pat Holmes will be slinging it for the Chiefs.
The fact that, like, anyone can have something that they can look and circle, and granted, we can put in the caveats, there are things out of everybody's control that could impact this, but if things don't go wrong, if things go fine according to plan, yes, Patrick Mahomes in 2031 will be playing quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Just like you said, the rest of us, we're just trying to figure out like what next week looks like in this new world we're living in. And that used to be a cliche, but I think it's actually honest to God true now. We're just trying to take it one week at a time, maybe even
now,
one day
more
at
than
a time.
Ever.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it's amazing. I mean, I'll be getting ready to celebrate my 41st birthday, and good Lord, I don't even, having just turned 30, I don't want to think about 40 yet. I mean, I've got some time.
I hate hearing that. Why would you put it in perspective to our own lives?
Yeah, I know.
That will mean I'll be 38.
Think about how old your son will be.
Oh, that's horrible.
He'll be pushing high school at that point.
Oh, yeah. He'll be a 13-year-old. Yeah. And Pat Mahomes, I'll be like, oh, yeah, man. I remember when I was in college when Pat Mahomes got drafted.
Well, it's almost like Tom Brady a little bit with us, right? Like, here we are sitting here. I mean, I'm 30, you're 27, and we're talking about Tom Brady. I mean, he won his first Super Bowl. I was 11, you were 8. Like, think about that.
You're right. I was so young to
a
where
a different world.
Yeah, you're right. And I was so young. It's one of those things where you're still impressionable to where I was like, Ty Law might be the coolest name ever. And he got that
right.
Pick six.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my, I love the Patriots. I'm a huge Patriots guy. It took me like maybe 1 year to say, okay, I see where this is going. Already over the Patriots.
Yeah, by the time they won the Super Bowl here in Jacksonville, which was their third in 4 years, I was like, all right, nah, I'm off these guys.
I mean, rooting for the Eagles in that one, actually.
Yeah, same.
So I was already off that.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. I think I was rooting for them over the Panthers because I didn't want the Panthers to get a Super Bowl before the Jaguars got one. I don't know. Silly things that you
think
about.
Yeah, a little hometown spite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But 10-year contract. I mean, we just joked about the insanity of that, but the NFL, you don't ever see anything like that. I mean, he is now out of the top five richest contracts for athletes in sports. Four of them are baseball players, and here now Patrick Mahomes, a football player in there. Like, these aren't contracts that NFL guys get, and there's a salary cap, so it's going to be very interesting to see. It could work out for the Chiefs if right? The revenues keep going up, and because the revenues keep going up, the salary cap keeps going up, and that will allow the Chiefs to keep spending on some of these other pieces. But we've seen how hard it is for these teams that spend on quarterbacks to still have enough money left in the coffer to pay for the people around them, right?
Yeah, I mean, what even makes me wonder is, and I'm about to pull out my phone and check, how old is Andy Reid?
Well, Andy Reid will not be his head coach. I think that's can safely say Andy, at the end of this run.
There's no way. So with so much uncertainty surrounding football players' health, we've seen quarterbacks demise throughout the league based on their shoulders, their knees. They get one injury and they may never come back the same. So they're basically selling their soul to Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, there's no way that 10 years from now, he's still going to be succeeding at the level he is now. So locking him up and locking him up for 10 years are two separate things. I would never do that.
Well, I wouldn't say never, because in 10 years, he's still going to be younger than Tom Brady by...
Tom Brady's such an outlier, like, though.
But there are plenty of quarterbacks, I think, that could play till they're older now. I mean, how old's Ben Roethlisberger? He came into the league in 2004. He's got to be in late 30s. Yeah, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees is almost 40. I mean, there are quite a few of these guys that are still playing at a... I mean, they're not playing at Patrick Mahomes' current level, but they're still playing at a really high level, you could argue, to later in their careers. It's the one position where you can sit there outside of maybe kicker and expect a guy to potentially be a good player into their late 30s.
So would you have given him 10 years, though?
Here's the one thing that I could say for the 10-year deal.
By the way, Andy Reid, 62.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So, well, 72? I mean, 70's a new 60, they say. So he might have to change he might have to change a few lifestyle habits
if he can't eat a steak after every win.
Yeah.
Like a huge porterhouse steak.
And like three McDoubles and stuff like that, you know. Here's after watching The Last Dance and remember a young transcendent talent named Scottie Pippen signed a very long deal early in his career. And by the end of that deal, he was underpaid significantly. If salaries continue to go up as we expect, because revenues with the NFL go up as we expect, by the end of this, Patrick Mahomes is, I don't want to call him a bargain, but he's not going to be the highest paid guy in the NFL for all 10 years of this deal. So the fact that you have locked him up, and you're not, and if he is able to have a Drew Brees type career, then yeah, by all means, this will, I think, be a good investment long term for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, those are good examples. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility for him to still be good in 10 years. I just am more so on the lines of, we see guys get injured all the time. Now, granted, an ACL, guys come back from that all the time. I just would be worried about the shoulder and things like that. I mean, quarterbacks getting teed off on.
Yeah, it's the NFL, though, so it's not a fully guaranteed contract, so they can get out of it if something, you know, worse comes to worse.
140 is fully guaranteed.
I mean, that's chump change when it all comes down to what that deal is going to be at the end of it.
Yeah, without question.
But this isn't Bobby Bonilla here or Darren Williams. Like, they're not going to be paying a Patrick Mahomes that's retired for 7 years because of some fluke play. I mean,
I love that Bobby Bonilla deal. July 1st, he gets, what, 1.1?
You want to talk about being able to plan your life out. I mean, geez, Bobby Bonilla gets there and sits there and says, every July 1st for basically the rest of my life, I'm getting $1.1 million. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, that's the best deal of all time.
Alex, I'll go back to it. The concern I have is less with Mahomes and his viability for the duration of the contract, and it's more of, do they end up in a Russell Wilson-type situation where they pay the QB and then they can't keep the pieces around him in place? And what you hope, right, is if you're able to draft well, then the nucleus of this Chiefs Super Bowl winning team will be broken up because they just can't afford to pay these guys, not all of them at least. What you hope is that you're able to keep a couple, right, and then continue to draft in good, talented new players to keep kind of reloading, sort of like what the Patriots have done over the years.
So I was just going to say, you want to use the Patriots as an example for Tom Brady's longevity, but you also need to think about what he's done with his contract. He's getting paid well, but he's not getting paid like Patrick Mahomes just got paid. No. He constantly restructures that deal because he knows how important it is to make sure that there's some pieces around him. And he's done that multiple times throughout his tenure there in New England. Obviously, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why he left, because of the fact that he was taking these cuts and they weren't putting like, anybody around him.
Right. He was like, it's time to go if you guys aren't going to put people around me. But Big Ben does that in Pittsburgh, too. Mm-hmm. He always restructures his deal to where some of it's guaranteed or they take some off. They move it around, basically, to where they can go play a little bit in free agency, because they are always over the cap by just a tad, and he helps them out a lot. So, you know, these big-time quarterbacks, they at some point are going to realize they need the pieces.
Yeah, the real question now is the next QB to get paid, what kind of numbers do they get? And for all intents and purposes, it feels like Dak Prescott's the next guy in line, right? Dak Prescott's not getting this deal. But does he go to his agent and say, well, I know I'm not getting Pat Mahomes money, but I better get something close to Pat Mahomes money, you know, because that's how this always works.
Definitely move the bar up, and it always works like that, and it's ridiculous because it has to stop somewhere, you would think.
You would think.
I'd probably say Lamar Jackson is going to be that next guy because he's – I mean, Grant, you obviously he has to finish out his rookie contract, but – I mean, he's two years in now, two playoff appearances.
Mahomes didn't. I mean, he was only just finished up year three of five of the potential for five with the fifth
of
year
his first
option,
one
of yeah. his rookie deal. So, I mean, Lamar Jackson, he just finished up year two. So, in the same line of thinking, he could be going looking for that extension at the end of next season.
And they're teed up to have another hell of a run because that's two playoff appearances in a row for the Ravens. This year, there's almost no excuse for them not to make the playoffs.
His is so tough, though, because of the style of play and for these run-first quarterbacks. And I know Lamar can sit back there and throw it. I mean, it's not like he's sitting there running zone read every down, but he's still a run-first guy at this point in his career. And how many of these run-first guys have we seen, whether it's RG3 or Kaepernick or, I mean, there's all sorts of examples of guys that flash – and then all of a sudden, that flash kind of tapers out pretty quickly.
Well, maybe Gardner Minshew's next, right?
The only guy that, for some reason, no one's talking about in the NFL. I mean,
oh man, picture Gardner Minshew just inking a deal like next week. We're like, what the hell just happened? Jags really believe in Minshew.
Yeah, they're like, well, you know, Bortles and Foles are off the books, so I guess we can throw money at a new QB now.
We got room. We got room in the cap.
That'd be funny, but it was nice to see. I just like seeing, just to put a wrap on this, I just like seeing this stuff happen because I hate the Dak Prescott aspect of it where we just sit here and talk about it for forever. It's like, just do a deal and then we can talk about the deal as opposed to all these hypothetical things of what somebody's worth and all this other nonsense.
And I don't care about the negotiations or anything like that on the front end, you know. Right. I'm with you.
All right, well, We have to touch on it because we led on off with it at the beginning and we
don't
had such
make
a
us do it.
We had such a positive show last week. We're all like NBA's coming back, MLB's coming back, and it's not all negative. It's not all negative. It's just we're sitting here in Alex. The way I look at it is, this is a pivotal week and a half that we're in for this sports landscape. The Major League Baseball announced a schedule today. We have a schedule. We know we've got a heck of a lineup there on opening night to where the Yankees and the Nationals are going to play.
July 24th?
The 23rd, that Thursday.
23rd, okay, gotcha.
They're going to play, and then the rest of Major League Baseball opens up on the 24th, that Friday. So you got a doubleheader on that Thursday night, opening day coming, what is it now, 3 months late. But it appears that it's coming, but there's a lot of rumblings coming out of Major League Baseball. The Yankees had a inter-squad scrimmage today may have even been televised up in the YES Network. The A's can't even report to camp because they haven't gotten all their tests back yet. So this is sort of the disjointed nature of what baseball is going through right now. Not even every team is reported. Apparently, all the personal protective equipment that was guaranteed has not been delivered yet. And so it feels like either that's going to get sorted out here in this next week, or we're going to run into a potential major road bump before they're even able to take the field and say play ball there on that July 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, with the NBA and MLB, and then I just got a notification that NHL, they have a goal of August 1st. We are, as taping this, July 6th. There's almost no more room for this to keep going the wrong way. You know, and it is. Every day it's going the wrong way. Whether, no matter what you believe, what you don't believe, the fact is there are more positive cases. And I just don't know how they're going to do it besides say, screw it, we're pushing through, we're going to just bulldoze, and if you're sick, you're sick, you're out 2 weeks, big deal, your team is still going to field a team. You know, the Yankees are still going to play. They just might not have their top three players because they might all be sick. So,
yeah, it's
I'm interested to see what they do there.
I mean, the one, and I know this is maybe turning into a running joke, me bringing up the NWSL here on this podcast. We're turning in at least one half of us into an NWSL podcast.
Definitely only half.
They've been playing now for 2 weeks. It's a good sign. They have gone off relatively without a hitch here for 2 weeks. Team sport, contact, they're in this bubble. Great example for, you know, the NBA and hopefully how they can make this work. But they ran into the big problem right before it started, right? The Orlando Pride had multiple players test positive to the point where they said, hey, sorry, you guys just can't come. So I'm thinking of this now. I mean, you said they're just going to probably, at least at the very beginning, just power through this thing. Okay, so if the backup second baseman test positive or your starting point guard even test positive in the NBA, you can live without a player, right? What happens if, you know, Major League Baseball, you're 2 weeks into the season and seven or eight guys on the LA Dodgers test positive? I know they're having these taxi teams. So what they're going to do is basically just like put all these guys on the IL and then just shuttle in these new dudes to replace some kind of thing, which is crazy in concept, but I mean, they do have,
they need a body for 2 weeks. Yeah.
They do have plans in place. So it'll just be fascinating to see like what is too much, you know, like what is a tipping point? Do they tell a team, you know, imagine a team in the bubble in Orlando, they probably don't have the ability to do that same kind of deal. They can't just shuttle in all these new players. If it all of a sudden goes rampant and, you know, goes all the way around the Milwaukee Bucks, God forbid, I mean, are they just, do they got to shut it down? I mean, that'd be insane, but it wouldn't shock me, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, at this point, yeah, at this point, it wouldn't shock me at all, because if the whole team is getting it and it's domino effect and you have one or two guys healthy, you can only pull up so many guys to where it's even worth pulling up D-League players. You're going to get waxed. So it may be in their best interest just to say, hey, we're shutting it down. The Bucks are out. And that, I just can't imagine that happening. I mean, right now it seems realistic, but it'd be such a bummer, because when you get these start dates, you tell yourself, okay, the world may be screwed, but they figured it out. We're playing on July 23rd, you know? Or we're playing on, what's the day games for NBA, July 28th?
And I think it still starts on the 31st.
31st, okay, yeah. So July 31st, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. It just feels like it's dimming, you know?
Right.
We're not getting closer.
Funny story, when I was in college, we played intramural basketball my freshman year, and like we just had all sorts of injury problems for some reason. So dudes are dropping like flies. So we had a team of six guys, right? It's 4-on-4. So that's a decent number. You get two subs that can rotate in. And so we lost two guys to season ending ankle injuries and a guy to a season ending knee injury. And we made the playoffs, but we were like the lowest seed and we drew the number one overall seed and we only had three healthy players. And so we played 4-on-3 and my roommate Bill banked in a three after we won the opening tip and we never saw the lead again the rest of the game.
Oh man. Yeah. That's going to happen. Hey, was this Earring, Scott?
This is pre-Earrings. This is freshman year. So this was
pre-Earrings, yeah, Scott.
I got those summer going into sophomore year.
Okay, I got you.
You want to know how the game ended, by the way?
Well, if you never saw the lead, I imagine a forfeit.
Yeah, it eventually ended up in a forfeit because...
Did it? Oh, hell of a guess.
Because the same guy that hit the three to open the game ended up getting teed up twice and ejected from the game. So we were down to two, and we said, we're not playing 4-on-2. This is so stupid.
Right. Yeah. Man, what did old Bill do?
He got in trouble for talking like the first time, and then he spiked the basketball the second time because kept getting called for like cheap fouls and stuff, and we're just desperately trying to cover four dudes with only three. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, frustration boiled over.
I'm just picturing like the Houston Rockets playing with three against the Lakers five, and like James Harden running around trying to cover everybody. It's so funny
there's
visual.
There's future bets out right now, and I was so excited. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna sprinkle a little love around some of these numbers here in the NBA." That is, and I haven't done it quite yet. But I also thought to myself, "What happens if this gets canceled?" I mean, do we not from a betting perspective?
Oh, I was gonna
say
they probably just void the bet.
Yeah, no. Of course, not from a betting perspective. It's just. Everything is moving along as planned right now, despite the downtick in not just positivity, but health of the overall country, especially the areas that, guess what? The bubble is in Florida, and Florida is a hell of a hot spot right now.
No doubt.
So
it would be a gut punch. We'll put it that way. I think it would be a gut punch because
that's what. So I guess I didn't finish my thought. As I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what's going to happen if they cancel this? Are we just going to wait till next year when the season was supposed to start and just void this whole season? And then I thought how bad I felt mentally after they canceled March Madness. That was the biggest gut punch that I never saw coming. And then sure enough, they canceled it. Everything started trickling from there. NBA was postponed and I just can't take it anymore. They got to get something on.
I think they're going to get it started, but it'll just be a matter of are they able to sit there and plow ahead.
So they have those. We haven't talked about that on those rings on this podcast before. But
yeah,
they are all wearing the rings. That look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're supposed to. But it does say 3 days prior to it's 90% accuracy. What, 3 days ahead of any test that could determine whether you have COVID or not?
Yeah, I mean that'd be. Where do I get one, right?
I know. Yeah, they only made them for NBA players.
Yeah, it's they're Major League Baseball. They're wearing Whoops, and they got the rings in the NBA. I mean, it's just and
what,
we're
what
sitting
are
here.
Whoops gonna do? Just tell you if you slept enough? I mean, what's that have to do with?
It follows your vitals and stuff like that. I mean, apparently it's supposed to be able to check your it follows your breathing and can track that too. And if you have. If you're having some respiratory problems, it may not even go, you know, if they're different, but not overtly noticeable to start, but like it could track it to maybe figure it out a little bit before you even notice it. So I don't know. This is all way beyond my pay grade and understanding of these things, but it sounds cool. I mean, I love the concept of technology that can find out if we're sick before we're sick.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you know what? You're going to see a lot more of that moving forward because this pandemic, it set everyone in the whole world back, not just America. This is not an American issue. This is a worldwide pandemic. Global. As everyone knows, I'm not breaking news, but the technology is going to take a significant jump here as if we didn't think it could. We are going to have new inventions come out from a health side. I mean, we fell behind with everything. We fell behind with PPE in the beginning and the distribution and manufacturing of that. We fell behind with hand sanitizer. I mean, you name it. There's going to be little stuff that just will never be the same that you might not think about, but we're going to start seeing advances in that. And the Whoop and that ring, I mean, that's ridiculous. And just know, we haven't had a pandemic since the Spanish flu. It's going to be a long time until something catches us off guard again. They're going to be ahead of the curve moving forward.
Yeah, I really hope it's at least another 100 years. That'd be nice to not have to live through the next one, you know?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have 100 straight years of the March Madness and NBA seasons.
Yeah, the stuff we all took for granted before, but we'll never do so again, that's for sure. I do want to – one final thing before we get off this, since we don't really want to belabor it too much, but just keep an eye out on Wednesday. The Ivy League is coming out with a decision on – most likely a decision on – what their plan is for the fall sports schedule. And I know this isn't necessarily just a complete truth to what everybody else is going to be doing or anything, but I think it's worth remembering that the Ivy League was ridiculed for shutting things down back in early March. And then everyone ended up sort of following their lead not long after that. And while FCS football is a little different than FBS football, I do think if they end up making a decision to move to spring, I think that'd just be kind of another bug in the ear of some of these commissioners of Power Five football to consider maybe again having the conversations toward what spring football may look like. Because we were talking about it, I think it came up maybe early April as a possibility, but then things started moving in a positive direction, and we said, all right, well, the downside to spring football is there's no backup, right? Like, if you get to the spring and things go wrong, you can't push it anymore. Your backs are against the wall. So that's why it's like, hey, if we can do it in the fall, let's do it in the fall. And it looked like we were going to be able to, but obviously now we're, who knows? We're it's just positive tests galore across college football. These kids can't stop partying. I mean, it's not looking great necessarily. So,
but the caveat to that is, what if there is herd immunity by the time we're supposed to kick things off?
I mean, we can
young hope. Healthy guys catching this thing, recovering and getting back to it.
We can hope. I hesitate to sit there and just
it's too
say,
widespread to get herd immunity. I mean, not everyone's going to want to get this. It's not right, like they're right. Volunteering.
And look at, I mean, it's not the greatest example of all time, but like Freddie Freeman right now, he tested positive. He's still a relatively young guy. He's in his early 30s. I mean, that's not old and peak physical shape. And he's been out. I mean, he says his symptoms are absolutely terrible. Like, he's completely whipped for the last several days. Fever, cough, all that stuff. Can't get out of bed. And it's like, dang, man, you never know. In a perfect world, it'd be like, yeah, if everybody just got this thing once and got over it and never got it again.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Young people were never had any symptoms. It'd be like, yeah, whatever. But unfortunately, we just don't know enough to be able to safely do that. But man, college kids, that's, I think, the thing that no one thought enough about is the college kids are going to college kid. And I mean, we're going to have a little fun with this, I think, in a future episode coming up here soon. Yeah. But
we got to get Colin in for that one. Yeah. We're going to do a college kid or going to college kid quarantine.
But
draft,
the Alabama kids, like, having
the COVID party, are you shitting me?
What are we
me?
Doing?
Yeah, God damn.
Now like, I will say, here's a little, just a quick story.
Those kids right there are going to prevent college football.
Yeah.
Those kids.
Yeah. When the swine flu happened, do you remember that in 2009?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so I was in college.
I had too much fun with that, too. Yeah, see, I was still in high school.
We had a day off in which it was for something else, but it was like we had this Monday off in the fall every year. I don't remember. I think it was supposed to be to go do, like, service projects, but, like, we just used it as an excuse to, like, party on a Sunday night. And I remember going to the party and people just calling it like the swine flu party. And like, we're playing beer pong and drinking out of these cups. I got sick as a dog after that. And I don't think it was swine flu, but I think it was just whatever else I caught out of those beer pong cups that night, which could have been a Molotov cocktail of other sicknesses.
Well, you know, we're going to get off on a huge tangent and we'll have to save it. But I will say, beer pong's one of those games where, what were we ever thinking, not just playing with water from the start? Of course, now if you play recently or play in a pool with your friends, you know, they have the floating racks for beer pong. Of course, you're going to play with water. I mean, I guess I say, of course, I play with water now.
I think
everyone smartens up by what, senior year of college? Maybe, yeah,
that's about right.
Maybe, right. Yeah. Senior year, you're like, hey, I'll just put water. That way we don't have to clean up if it spills, but also we don't have to drink after 60 people if you end up playing.
Well, Alex, the magic water cup that cleans all.
I know.
It sanitizes.
To rinse the ball.
I actually read an article.
Makes no sense.
I actually read an article about like beer pong. The Athletic had one on beer pong in the age of the coronavirus. And it's like how, because there's professional beer pong leagues. Oh, it's like, how are they going to be able to do, I didn't know that either until I read the article. And it's like, how are they going to do this thing? Yeah, they are affected right now because they can't do these things in person. But it was amazing. They did like a study on the amount of bacteria that's on the balls that you play with.
Oh God! It's how bad
so
is bad. It?
It's so bad. I mean,
oh, it's your fingers, the floor,
yeah,
and so saliva,
so for anybody that's playing beer pong, they say play with water. Wash your hands before and after the game. Do not go to your mouth or rub your face or anything like that in game. And then you know, keep
your. Yeah, but if you're playing with a water cup, I mean, big deal. The ball just stays on your hands, you know.
Yeah, well, it's the ball, because if you touch the ball that's got something on it, you touch your face, then that's where stuff can go wrong. But that's basically more or less where they were going with it's like this the healthy way to play beer pong now. So let me
ask you a question. What was there more to that? Is there more?
No, I was just going to say. I mean, I know we have listeners out there that were very upset that we left beer pong off the drinking games draft. So I want to be able to fill them in.
Overrated. Sue me.
It's the Buffalo Wild Wings of drinking games. I mean, it's just. It's there.
Speaking of B-dubs.
Everybody can play it, but it's not that great.
No, definitely not. So, not a huge B-dubs guy?
Yeah, me either. Like, it's
what? Okay. Yeah. But once sports are back midday, might have to meet you there.
Can we go Miller's Ale House for a little more of a local flair?
Okay, let's do that.
All right, yeah.
Let's do that. In fact, I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. Every time we talk about getting back together, maybe doing the show in person, and then, like, 100,000 more people test positive and we slide backward down the hill and we're like, all right, well, maybe not.
This has been working. So, hey, so I got a question that I've never asked you.
Shoot.
I thought about this when we were just talking about the gut punch. Coronavirus comes same time. You get to keep one of the sports, MLB, March Madness, which obviously is a short time period. So take that into account. Doesn't last into the summer. And then you also have NBA regular season. Which one would you get rid of?
Wait, which one would I keep or which one am
I mean, which one would you keep? Okay. Man. I was just thinking about it. I don't know what I think.
I think I would go with...
I think I know your pick.
Yeah, I think I would go March Madness.
Oh!
Yeah, just because... Okay. It would be like this big last hurrah. Like, we didn't have a chance to say goodbye to sports. Like, they were just gone, right? Like,
yeah, if,
and I don't know, I'm just assuming in this world, it's like, okay, this is the last thing we're doing. Like they play it without fans. They do basically a bubble at that point, and they're like, we're going all the way through in this scenario, I guess. And we do.
Well, Florida State was warming up on the court to play Clemson, and they were like, hey, we're done with this. Let's go ahead and do the ceremony. Y'all won the ACC. Everyone's like, all right, I mean,
call me crazy, but I'm kind of way more fired up for this version of baseball than I would have been regular. Because you and I, we root for two really bad baseball teams, and they kind of both have chances in this situation somehow.
No, the Pirates are...
The Pirates are terrible, but if they got like weirdly hot to start the year, teams can do that. Maybe not the Pirates. They might be the only
real
team.
Bad example. I think we're literally dead last in the MLB. Not just
Orioles might be just ahead of them actually, but
Orioles started showing a little bit of improvement at the end of last year.
But there are well over half the teams that are capable of getting hot for 60 games.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be the teams with a bullpen. Because it's quick turnarounds. But hey, my whole thing was when I fixed baseball, I wanted it to be more rapid.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be short, not necessarily this or under these circumstances, but I did want it to be a little bit tighter. I mean,
yeah. Oh, I'm with you. I wouldn't want it 60 games every year. I mean, that's not long enough, honestly. It doesn't really do the game. You lose the nuance of the game. But for this, if it works, this kind of blitz, I mean, yeah, I my plan is to watch a lot of baseball, a lot more than I've watched in years, probably, over this summer, because it's just going to, you're basically already in the playoff race. It's a two-month season. It's nuts.
Yeah. It makes every game more important, which is what I wanted to happen anyway. So, you know, there may be an opportunity for these commissioners to actually change things moving forward when we're back under normal or circumstances next season to say, hey, you know what? That worked. Let's look at the revenue. How close were we to where we typically are? Could we make something here a little tighter and maybe keep the same money or increase revenue somehow because of the ticket sales when there's an opportunity for that, because the game actually means more. So you might have more people coming.
You said, I mean, the world is going to look different. I think sports are honestly going to look different after this. Well, a prime example of that is NASCAR. I almost guarantee you we're Wednesdays. Going to see midweek races.
Without Wednesday races will be NASCAR. They have
to. And because they've seen the fact that you can cut down on the practice time needed to effectively race, because the racing quality really has not taken a dip at all.
And the people that you just gained that didn't watch NASCAR prior don't know any different of the quality prior to getting an extra 2 days to practice, you know.
And those Wednesday night races are fun. I mean,
they're fun because they're quick. They're easy to consume, and they don't have any competition from another sport. So you can sit down and say, oh, yeah, that's right. It's Wednesday. Sweet. We got a little sports on prior to college football tomorrow on Thursday or NFL football on Thursday. Yeah. You know, kind of kick off your hump day.
Exactly. Wednesday's usually not a very big sports night. But tell you what, Alex, I was sad watching, speaking of our quarantine draft last week, I was sad watching 4th of July this year and that snooze fest that is the annual trip to the Brickyard. What awful venue for NASCAR Cup races. I get why they go there because it's historic. There's all this tie-ins and everything, but the race sucks every year.
How does it get so spread out?
It's not designed for cup cars. They can't find a package that works to allow guys to pass.
Yeah.
I don't think they drive fast. I don't know. The most exciting part of the entire day was when they had a crash in pit road.
Oh, I know. And that talk about it, exciting. I mean, also kind of scary of that one guy got smoked.
Yeah, but Ryan Blaney.
No, so the very end, when Hamlin had the lead and Harvick's crew told him to push him just because they saw threads coming from his tires. I was like, how badass is that? Hamlin was about to win his second straight race and, you know, he pushed him hard enough. He crashed and we had to go through the yellow and
then he ran away with it. But
yeah, exactly.
It's the Harvick Hamlin show as of late. I mean,
it really is.
I'm excited to see somebody knock him off their perch, but those two cars and those teams are fast. We shall see. Hey, you know what? I've got to get off my lawn. Can I rant here for a little bit?
Yeah, it's been a while. Our whole lives have seemed very get off my lawn lately. So I'm happy to hear a legitimate one.
This one stood out because we called this the Sports Bar Pendulum Podcast, right? We're swinging back and forth. We're happy. We're sad. We're somewhere in the middle. What I try and do is I try and balance it out. I mean, right? Some days, some hours, it just seems like all the news is negative, and other times it feels like there's a lot of positive things to look at. And maybe no better place or example of that is when you're scrolling through your Twitter timeline and some people are acting like nothing's wrong and some people are acting like the world is ending tomorrow. And it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to try and strike the balance between you two people and we'll go from there. But I'm scrolling through Twitter earlier tonight and I'm following along with the Major League Baseball schedule release because I'm curious. I want to see who the O's are opening against, what opening night looks like, all this other jazz. Apparently, it was kind of a mess, maybe like that similar to the Selection Sunday show a couple of years ago where they took like 2 hours somehow to announce the whole thing. I mean, it's just like, get to the point. I'm scrolling through and I see a tweet from a writer for the New York Daily News who, according to her Twitter bio, likes baseball. Her cover photo is Citi Field, Met Stadium. Her name's Kate Feldman, and she tweets, they're covering this.
Related to Bruce Feldman?
I don't think so.
That'd be cool.
I like Bruce a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kate, so she tweets, they're treating this like it's normal, like in the schedule releasing, like everything's normal. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, I guess I can see a minor gripe, like if they were sitting there just pretending, I guess, like coronavirus didn't exist, that'd be kind of a weird thing to do. But this is also, to an extent, sports is still somewhat of an escape, right? Like can we at least just talk about schedules and some of this stuff with a little bit of hope? So I tweet, she has a whole thread here. She has like another tweet and then says, like another one after that says, how can you do a schedule breakdown without acting like 2 to 3 guys will be missing every night due to coronavirus? And then follows that up with on another note, we shouldn't be playing baseball. And I was like, Kate, have you ever watched a schedule release show? I mean, can you imagine the NFL schedule release show?
Do you remember the NFLs? They did a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Can you imagine if they're going in there, the NFL Network staff, and they're sitting there and they're going, well, you know, when the inevitable 3 guys are out with a hamstring injury in week 3 and then a dude blows out his knee in the wide receiver core in week 4, this matchup's going to look No, they don't do that. We don't know about this stuff. Yeah, okay, so guys are going to test positive. That we know. We don't know how many or how often or what any of this is. How can you sit there and do a schedule release show and start predicting dudes? Well, you know what? It's going to be really it's going to be bad when Max Scherzer misses opening night because he's got – we don't know.
Right. You have no idea.
It's ridiculous. So every schedule release show of all time does not mention – people missing time due to injury unless they're already injured. If you want to bring up Freddie Freeman or some of these guys that have opted out, that is perfectly fine. I understand that because that's a reality. You can't sit here and speculate how many dudes are going to be missing and when they're going to be missing. She was just a sour grapes and wanted everybody to kind of get down in the dumps with her because she's mad because she thinks it's dangerous and all this other stuff. It's like, listen, we're working this out, people. You don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. It just drives me crazy.
Trying to play something we love here, okay?
We're giving it a shot. It may not work. It may not work. We're giving it a shot. You know, I mean, is that the worst thing in the world? It's not like they're running out there and say, hey, we're going to play baseball and no social distancing. There's no rule changes and everybody's going to sleep in the same room. I mean, it's not like they're doing that. They're trying stuff. And she's sitting here acting like, you know, that they're just blatantly spitting in the face of this pandemic and acting like it doesn't exist. I was like, listen, don't bring us all down to your bad mental spot, okay?
Yeah, that's bad juju.
That was my get off my lawn. Kate Feldman, New York Daily News writer. Go,
that's a good one, and that explains it. But
go find some subway creature to rant about or something like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's no way that we even know what it's going to look like. We just started this show by saying we don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. How are you going to sit here and tell us what it's going to look like for X amount of players to be out for either team when you have no idea if these technologies they're using are actually going to work, if these bubbles are going to work, the precautions they're doing are going to work, the social tracking is going to work? Before you know any of that, you can't stop it or poo-poo the fact that they're trying to make it work.
Every sport has people that miss time due to injury every year. And I'm not sitting here comparing...
whether it's COVID or a hammy, right.
I'm not trying to like make light of a hamstring injury compared to coronavirus. They're very different things, and one is significantly more serious. But like her
Which
point
one?
Is... I'll gotcha. Let everybody else fill in the blank there.
Gotcha.
But like her whole point of like being like, you can't have a schedule release show and not predict people being out. Like, that's the whole purpose of it. You go with what you got right now, and then that's the fun of it. You sit here and make these predictions, and then they all go wrong because people, yeah, it never goes the way you plan it. But that bothered me.
Yeah, that's a good one, Scott.
I feel better, though. I got it out. I got it out of my system.
I'm happy to hear it. And honestly, you made me mad, too. So it was a well executed get off my lawn.
You know who else is mad this weekend?
Who?
A guy who's going to get our Ice Mule coolers. Use promo code SPORTSBAR15 for 15% off at checkout. for your ice mule cooler. Get them because it's not getting any colder and you need to keep your drinks cold while you're social distancing this summer. Ice mule cooler is cold
use
as ice.
Use mine this weekend for the 4th of July.
Yeah, say it as did I. Bryson DeChambeau. This guy, already not well-liked,
he's
I think.
He's something, isn't he?
Already not well-liked, I think, coming into the season. But then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, look at him. He worked out. Oh, he has no idea how to count calories. And he thought when he eats 9 protein shakes a day, he thought that was a 300 calories per meal. Dude, that's 300 calories per shake. What are you talking about? So he's obviously a big dumb ox. And he got mad.
He's like this scientist guy.
Well, he has no idea how to count. He doesn't know what goes into his food he's eating because
I'm pretty sure he's like a former like scientist type guy. He's super,
I hope he wasn't a food scientist.
And that's what takes him so long on his swings. That's why a lot of players hate him because he's so slow. His pace
of
play.
That's why people hate him. And then he's just a douche. And he yelled at a camera guy this weekend. Guy wins the tournament, by the way. Won the tournament. He shot like 22 under. Wins the tournament at the Rocket
Mortgage.
Well,
they were tearing that course up.
Yeah, the course lost this weekend. The course definitely lost. Up in Detroit, where it looked beautiful, significantly nicer than it was here. I was like, do I want to go to Detroit? Am I crazy?
I thought the same thing. When I picture Detroit, it's the same way I picture Cleveland. And my cousin lives there. I've told him this. I always picture it just being like overcast, hazy, almost smoggy. I always picture it being cold, always.
Yeah, yeah. There's just like smoke rising out of the sewers all the time.
Oh, yeah. Sewers always smoking, tops of the buildings and out of the little chimney spouts. You know, I'm always picturing steam coming up because it's just chilly there. Yeah, I picture hell.
But the opposite, though, because it's really cold.
Well, yeah.
But no, Detroit.
Frozen over hell.
Yeah, Detroit looked beautiful this weekend, and it made me kind of jealous as we were sitting through our umpteenth thunderstorm on Sunday afternoon. But so he comes out and says he thinks that like the camera people or the network should only show the triumphant moments and not the bad moments. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, man, like he obviously really took participation trophy culture to heart. Like for all the grumpy old guys that were like, this is why we can't give kids participation trophies. This guy might be the reason why we shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. And he said that the reason he didn't want them showing bad moments is it ruins that player's brand. It's like you're a golfer on a televised sport as it always has been. They're going to show you every birdie you make, buddy, but they're also going to show you every double bogey because you're a golfer. That's what you're doing. You're performing. That's like saying Tom Brady, when he throws a pick, they shouldn't show it because it ruins Tom Brady's brand.
Alex, your plan to fix baseball could get a little help from Bryson here if they just don't show strikeouts or outs or hits. You know, like if we just don't show the bad moments, no errors, like we're really condensing
home
the game.
Home run
it'd be about
on
20
home
minutes.
Run.
Yeah, just be nothing but great moments. It sounds great to me. But geez, man, Bryson, you're on ice because any chance you
I'm
had
glad
of
you
kind
called
of,
him a douche. He's a douche.
Any chance he had of kind of reshaping his image coming out of into the restart of the season here? No, it's officially he sucks.
See, the thing is he used to talk a lot of shit to Brooks Koepka, and I'm sure they still don't like each other. I don't think anything was solved there.
Well,
both
one
are
is
pretty
the biggest,
hard-headed.
Yeah, and one's the biggest bro of all time. The other guy couldn't be less of a bro.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is now it's like, DeChambeau, I mean, do you fight him? Can you fight him? He's a big guy now.
I don't know. I just don't. I think if you go for his legs, he's going down hard.
Yeah, probably. He can't take a punch, no doubt.
He doesn't strike me as an athlete. He strikes me as he's like those guys that lift weights all the time that like, if you throw them a ball, they're dropping it 9 out of 10 times, but man, they look swole. So credit to those guys.
Good on the beach. Look good on the beach.
Yeah. They got the beach muscles. They got beach muscles. Well, Bryson DeChambeau, not only are ice meal coolers cold as ice, cause he needs to really cool down and stop being such a stupid hothead.
Yeah, douche less.
Yes, that is your ice meal coolers cold as ice segment. Promo code SPORTSBAR15 for 15% off at checkout. Get your ice meal cooler today. That's a great transition here, Alex, because our quarantine draft here today kind of focuses on dudes like Bryson DeChambeau. These are, we'll call them the you guys that, I'll bleep myself on the first one, but you have to kind of, everybody has like those dudes in sports that you just can't stand. You hate them. And you probably don't have a great reason. Like there's a lot of times it's almost unexplainable, but for whatever it is, these people just trigger you. And so we wanted to kind of run through our list of our favorite FU guys across the sports landscape and the ones that we love to hate. And with that, I guess we'll flip this coin here.
We both know that this is a huge coin flip for once.
Maybe the biggest coin flip we've had.
We both know who's going number one in this draft. And most of our listeners can already predict who we're going with. All right, so I'm going to go tails. Oh, nice catch.
It is...
heads, okay. All right, Scott gets them.
All right, number one overall. You guys guessed it. This was as easy as a pick since LeBron James was coming out of high school.
I'll tell you, when we announced via text today, what should our quarantine draft be? I was like, oh, perfect, I got one. And I literally only thought of this guy. So
yeah,
carry on.
The first one I thought of. With the first overall pick in the FU guys quarantine draft, out of Nice High School and the University of Florida, though he's homeschooled and should have gone to Bartram Trail. Tim Tebow. I'm blessed. He's so blessed to have been picked in this spot. That's all I got to say. I will give the caveat.
Where do we start?
With all the caveat of, with all indications, Tim Tebow is a good dude and does plenty of good things.
I'll agree.
It doesn't mean I have to like the guy, right? Like from his time at Florida to just the way his career played out to the fact that Florida State went 0-4 against him as a quarterback there, started 3 years and a package guy, one of those. The whole final game, it's raining. Everybody still says that he played through blood on his jersey when it's just – Doe Campbell Stadium was soaking wet, and so he got all the paint from the end zone on his jersey. That's the only Florida State Florida game I think I've ever turned off early, by the way. Ugh.
I was there.
Thoughts and prayers.
That hurt, man. The first drive, Everett Brown got a sack, or maybe they did a reverse with Percy Harvin, and Everett Brown was back there. Everett Brown was a beast that year, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But I just remember being like, oh, my God. We have a chance.
And that went out the window. That was like Bill's three-pointer, man. That was it. That was the highlight.
So fast. He trucked Jamie Robinson that game. Everything about the game was an absolute disaster.
So into my hate. So it continues. Obviously, they win two national championships while he's there. That doesn't help things. The promise. Oh, don't get me started on that. Guy goes up and cries at a podium. They make
a
plaque out of it.
He was nauseating in college. He really was. Just, we were force-fed him, too.
Just so much. And then I actually made a bet with a female friend in college who loved him. Not a Gator fan, but loved him. That he would not be drafted before the third round in the NFL draft. Well, of course, I lost that bet.
Yes, you did.
Then I don't even have to remind you of this one, the playoff game, the John 3:16 passing yards one, in which he throws a quick slant, and no one talks about how Demaryius Thomas did all the work.
Stiff arms like Taylor. And
runs through the entire Steelers defense to win the game, but yep. Tim Tebow is the hero because he threw a
pass.
So
I watched that with two Gator fans who were obviously rooting for Tim Tebow, a.k.a. the Broncos, and I'm a Steelers fan. That I can't believe I didn't put that on my draft that we did with Taylor Dahl while back.
That's a brutal one.
That hurts so bad. Okay, carry on. I just hate this guy so much, too. I have a lot to say.
And really, we're
this guy.
Right. And the final kind of peak of it all was that the period of time in which John Elway takes over the Broncos makes it very clear that Tim Tebow is not part of the future plans of the Broncos, despite winning that playoff game. And so he's
you almost
out there.
Said lucky.
He was lucky. Yeah. He's available. And all Jaguar fans are like, well, you know, if and Jaguar fans and non-Jaguar fans, probably more non-Jaguar fans, is like, oh, well, if they want to sell tickets in Jacksonville, then it would make a lot of sense. And I was like, okay, that would be great for like 1 year. I mean, right, what are we talking
plan.
About?
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a 1 year plan.
Doesn't make sense. And that was the whole year too that SportsCenter might as well have just been nicknamed. I mean, for all the people that have complained that like LeBron is loved more than anybody else on SportsCenter, maybe any athlete of all time, at least LeBron is the pinnacle of his sport. SportsCenter is doing Tim Tebow specials on a daily basis, and the guy wasn't good. He wasn't even good. And they were sitting there doing happy birthday Tim Tebow shows and stuff like that. Like, holy smokes. It was just, I feel bad in a sense because of the fact that he didn't elect to be force-fed down our throats to the fact that we had no choice but to throw him back up because you can't, I mean, you can't stick anything that far down somebody's throat unwillingly without them sending it back up the other way. But geez Louise, it was just, there was just six straight years of ever increasing to the point to where it became, you couldn't avoid it, Tebow mania. There's a guy down the street from me that still has a Tebowing sticker on his truck.
Yeah, Tebowing. Remember when he did that with the Broncos? Yeah.
Well, he didn't do it. People took it and ran with it. I mean, he'd done that forever. But it was just too much. It was just too much. And a lot of it is not his fault per se, whereas some of these other guys on my list, it will be their fault for various reasons. But man, oh man, if you weren't a Tebow, there was no middle ground on Tebow. If you weren't a fan, you were a hater. Like, there was just no way to be in the middle.
I'll tell you, the day he retired and went to go play baseball and went on to, I guess he initially became an announcer.
Well, he does both.
Well, no, I'm saying in the beginning, he didn't initially go straight to baseball. He did like a year of announcing, and he wasn't good at it. And then the next year he came back, and I was like, holy smokes, I like Tebow now. He does a really good job for the SEC Network, and I don't mind listening to him at all. So as much as I hated him, I do want to say I've come around on Tim Tebow. He's completely fine by me because he's out of mind, out of sight, until it's Saturday, and then he talks about football, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, fair.
I mean, and to be fair, I'm watching very little of SEC Network studio shows, so I don't get a whole lot of them anyway, except for when they kind of shoehorn them in game day coverage sometimes, but it's all right. It's all right. Yeah, that's my first pick, though. Almost a co-first pick there, and now the floor is yours.
All right, so I have an easy number two. Tebow obviously would have been my number one, but this guy, believe it or not, was close to number one. Vontaze Burfict.
Ah, yes.
I almost don't need to say anything. One, I'm a Steelers fan. And two, this guy is just scum of the earth, in my opinion. I think it's fair to call him a piece of shit, right? I mean,
he has little regard for
human life.
Yeah, or decorum in any forum. I didn't mean to ride that, but
yeah, decorum in any forum. But he, from our playoff games where he single-handedly took Antonio Brown out of the game, which hurt our chances the next week in New England, and obviously we didn't make the Super Bowl that week, to everything he's done ever. I mean, he's one of the most penalized guys in the sport every time he plays. This year, he just got suspended for the rest of the year for the Raiders, and he's supposed to be one of their leaders. I mean, I don't have much more to say about him. I'll hate him forever.
That's a good choice. Hateable. Very hateable guy. I know somebody
every time I see him, F you.
A guy who, because he's a Bengal and this guy's a Bengals fan, Bods will defend Vontaze Burfict to an extent. I think he does acknowledge that he goes over the line.
I'll be excited. We all know Bods will tweet at us over this. I'm very excited now.
I want to hear how he rationalizes that. All right. Are we going snake or are we just going straight on this draft?
Yeah, just go straight.
Okay. All right, my number two pick, and this is a tough one. All right, I'm going number two overall, John Jay. And for anybody who knows me, this is kind of a niche pick, but it's also one that makes a lot of sense for some of those that have known
John
me for a
Jay.
Long time. So John Jay was a longtime outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, a team I hate, of many which players I hate. But John Jay, there was just something about him that really, it just, You know, there's guys that you're like, this guy sucks. And then it's like he somehow gets hits. And you're like, this doesn't make sense. Like, his swing was super long and terrible. He had no arm in center field. And yet for like a 3-year stretch, he kind of got the job done on those like Cardinals teams that like always played better than they actually were and like kept going back to the playoffs and like even won some World Series. And you're like, these teams aren't that good. And he was just like the face. Like Yadier Molina, more hateable dude, but like Yadier Molina was good. I mean, he's like a Gold Glove. He was at his peak kind of there in the
early
2010s.
Every time Eric would say Yadi Bomb, I'd be like, I hate Yadier Molina. Yeah,
I hate Yadier Molina, but I had to tip my cap to an extent because like he was a good player. Like John Jay, not a good player, and like somehow keeps just materializing in various places. And it's just, it got to the point where there are certain things that you lose yourself a little bit. Like you get it gets so far out of control. And my hatred for John Jay circa about 2011, 2012 was just off the charts. And every time he got a hit, I would like lose my mind. But, and I watched a lot of Cardinals games because they played the Reds a lot. And when I was in college, we got Reds games on locally, but man, oh man, John Jay probably out there collecting a paycheck somewhere at the end of a bench on a 40-man roster in this version of Major League Baseball, and I'll find him one night.
With a very, very staunch hater still around.
I'm going to flip him a bird, and that'll be that. All right, you're number two.
So this next one, I got a couple that I'll see where they fall. This is a little bit of recency bias, but I hate Ricky Aguayo.
Wow.
The 4-year starter at kicker for the Florida State Seminoles the past 4 years didn't help. We sucked the past 4 years. He just was so cocky because he thought that, oh, yeah, I'm Roberto Aguayo's brother, who ended up not panning out in the NFL, obviously. But no issue with Roberto. I want to make that clear.
And one of the better college kickers of all time. So you got to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But Ricky was so cocky. I know this from personal experiences in Tallahassee as well. One time, for example, he was at the bar. One of my friends was a bartender, and he ordered like 20 shots. And the kid was like, oh, yeah, I'll give him a discount or whatever. He's like, I'm not paying you. I'm Ricky Aguayo. And it was just like, what? You're a kicker. So there were a couple things. Regardless, it didn't help that he also sucked. For being our starter for 4 years, we couldn't find a better kicker that could hit extra points. You know, there were times where Logan Tyler had to come in and try and hit past 45-yard field goals because Ricky couldn't do it. He was terrible. Ricky Aguayo, recency bias. I almost rooted against the Noles for field goals and extra points. I was like, you know what? We can still win if he misses this and we go back and go for two on the next time. And then I don't have to cheer for him.
It felt like a bit of a reversion back to pre-Graham Gano era, not counting Sebastian Janikowski, of course, but that era of kickers that like had all the talent in the world, were pretty good, but always seemed to find ways to miss big kicks.
It's always, like, right, always disappoint you.
Yeah. By the way, I've never gone to a bar and been like, I'm not paying, I'm the kicker. So just so you know, you can there stay you friends with me.
I knew you wouldn't, Scott. You're a good guy. No, he also, let's just keep in mind, killed the turtle. You don't know that story, he did kill the turtle. Part of my take talks about it all the time. They're like, Ricky Aguayo's an ass because he killed
animal abuse, man.
He killed a fraternity turtle at Florida State. Dude. Trust me, the guy's not the man.
If he ever comes up and gets rich one day, he'll have to look out. That might come back to bite him like it almost did for the guy who co-founded Facebook with the chicken scenario.
Yeah.
I rewatched The Social Network recently, so that's fresh on the mind. Good movie.
It is.
On Netflix. A lot to learn there. For anybody who's curious. All right, my number three. I am going to the world of basketball for this one. Another one a little bit off the beaten path. But I am taking Matt Howard, the former center for the Butler Bulldogs. We affectionately called him Rat Howard in college. Another guy who you sat there and said, this guy's not that good.
Just
and
a yet, big, goofy white guy.
Big, goofy white guy. T-shirt doesn't fit.
Long hair.
Got caught picking his nose on the bench. on TV, and yet somehow helped Butler to back-to-back national title games. Somehow. And played in quite possibly the worst national title game of our lifetime in that UConn-Butler final in 2011, which was just borderline unwatchable. It was so bad. But
really bad.
This Butler team, which personally, as a Xavier fan, we lost to Butler my sophomore year, the team that went to the final with Gordon Hayward and nearly beat Duke, and lost to them in this one could have been easily on my my terrible list of games too, in brutal fashion, in which the referees completely lost control of the situation and just waved off the last like 3 seconds of the game. Or it was like a second and a half. They just waved it off, yet counted a bucket that probably shouldn't have counted for Butler to win. So we felt like we were better than them anyway. They go to the final, whatever. But for them to go back the next year when there was just luck after luck after luck. I mean, they won in the first round like a tip-in on a missed shot at the buzzer. I mean, that team was not good, as evidenced by how they played in the final. They just got hot at the right time, were well-coached, and he was just the poster child of – like, Gordon Hayward went on, and, like, the dude's good. Like, you're just like, all right, yeah, that kind of makes sense. No one else on those teams were any good, and Matt Howard was always the one everybody talked about. Couldn't stand
yeah. him. Oh, Matt yeah. Howard. I remember him. He's, like, a guy that wore just, like, regular Hanes crew socks, it felt like.
Yeah, and it's not playing. Even – so, like, Xavier had Matt Stainbrook. I don't know if you remember him, the big white guy with the goggles a couple years yep. later. But, yep. like, he was, like, a fun personality, drove Uber, all this – like. Matt Howard didn't have anything going for him other than the fact that he was like a slightly above average basketball player that looked stupid.
I remember him distinctly. I definitely thought he looked like a rat, but that's a good pick there.
That guy.
I'm good. You're still mad about him. He might be over your number two pick, John Jay.
I don't know. It's very close to those guys.
So my last pick's very, very simple.
You're only on three, buddy.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. I have Tebow on my list, but you took him.
Yeah, sorry.
I still hate Tebow that much. I got Bryce Harper up there.
Okay, wow.
See, Bryce Harper to me is another guy where I'm just like, yep, he's a douche. It's the hair flip. It's I don't know what it is. It's well, yeah, it's the fiery personality. When he's not on your team, that's a guy you just don't like.
And
that's it. That's a simple explanation. That's all I got.
Nothing with the contract or him holding out for that long or anything like that. Just
yeah, but that's just part of the game with some guys. That didn't. I hated him way before that, though.
Have you seen his hair now? He's gone with the long hair.
Like long, long?
I mean, like shoulder length.
Oh wow! No, I haven't.
Yeah, he's got like not quite Ben Gamble length, but he's got like shoulder length hair with the beard. So yeah. Pretty good look if you can pull it off, and I think he's one of those guys who can pull it off.
Yeah, okay. He's a good-looking guy, okay? Yeah. What do you want me to say? I don't have to like him.
That's fair. It's fair. It's fair. I get it. I get it.
He's kind of he's pretty yoked, too.
I mean, yeah, he's rich, professional athlete. Wife's probably hot. I mean, he's got a lot of things going for him.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter that I don't like him.
Right.
Number three on my list, Bryce.
He's
number
laying
three
somewhere.
On my list.
He's sitting somewhere right now in Philly, just like, I get the feeling this somebody doesn't like me out there.
Like, the sports bar podcast?
Yeah. Whoa. I thought those guys were cool.
What'd I do to you, Turco?
We lost a listener tonight. Yeah. Bryce, sorry, man. Come back. Come on the pod.
Yeah. All right. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, Bryce Harper, you're number three, which leads me to my number four. And this one sort of bookends well with my number one in the fact that I've had a bit of a come around on him, but it's Jeff Fisher. And Jeff Fisher...
I like Jeff Fisher. He's not on my list.
Jeff
anywhere.
Fisher, because of the Titan stuff, I can't, as redeemable as he seems with his interviews on Pardon My Take and how he's sort of embraced some of the meme nature that he has been in, I just cannot get over the fact that the best football team, professional football team that I've ever rooted for lost three times to one team in one season and only lost three games that whole season. And the guy at the helm of it did the whole...
This is our house.
Yeah, this is our house about Alltel Stadium. And it's just like I've hated the Titans ever since. And Jeff Fisher, just him and the mustache and the smarmy look and just the... Steve McNair and Eddie George and Keith Bullock and Derek Dyson Mason and Kevin Dice. Ah, God. But Jeff Fisher, he was the head. He was the guy at the front of it all. And it's like, man, you guys weren't even that good. And like I think he's like a very average coach too. Like he just kept getting jobs.
Yeah, I mean, look at his stats. He's literally like 500. Like,
yeah, the most average coach of all time. And just he always rubbed me the wrong way. And I do enjoy listening to him on Pardon My Take and some of his interviews. I think he's a little bland sometimes, but
I like him. He has a little fun, like a sarcastic kind of dry guy.
I give him credit for being able to have a little fun with it, but man, oh man, whereas like, look right now, like Mike Vrabel, like I want to hate that guy, but I have a real hard time. I have to hate him because he's the head coach of the Titans, but gosh darn it, do I wish he was the head coach of my team.
Yeah,
because that guy
is a badass.
I love that guy. Secretly, don't tell anybody. But
just like Bryce Harper's gonna listen to this episode and be upset, Vrabel's gonna be like, you know what, Scott, I'll come coach the Jags.
Yes, let's go.
We did it.
I know where Doug Marrone lives. I can go put the for sale sign in his front yard.
I think it was for sale earlier and got pulled down. I mean, he just did a ton of renovations, didn't he?
That was the that house was. It had like a sign that was like a renovation sign up for months.
Yeah,
and I'm guessing that's what fooled our girl. What's her name? Diana Rossini.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was the one that had the report back whenever that
was. Yeah, I remember. March, I remember. February. Yeah, they said it was for sale, which was funny because when I did a little Christmas walk, Night of Lights or whatever, a little Jingle Bell run, and you run right down the river right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could see it was under construction, basically renovation. I'm like, yeah,
forever.
I was like, yeah, but why is he selling it? Yeah. If he, you know, I didn't get it either because I knew the report was out there. But my last one is specific to this team a little bit too, but J.J. Redick at Duke.
I feel like that's a common one.
You say common, but he was that asshole that you couldn't foul because he'd hit every free throw. He hit every shot. He talked the talk. He walked the walk. He didn't wear any cool socks. He just wore like no CM socks with his shoes, everything. He just
guy back knee, and like and he's just silent assassin.
Super pale with the white jerseys, the away game whites for how pale he was, just frustrated me. Everything about him, and then he got drafted by the Magic, and I'm naturally a Magic fan. I was like, all right, I guess I'm gonna have to convert here. And then when we got rid of him, I'm like, why'd we get rid of him? He's just figuring out the NBA because he was so bad his first year, so bad. Couldn't play defense and couldn't find the long ball anymore. And I'm like, oh, this is a disaster. What a wasted pick. Now I really hate J.J. Redick. And then he started coming along and playing scrappy on D. I mean, he's limited athletically when it comes to that, but he's
carved
still
out a nice
around.
Career, though. Carved still, out a real nice career.
Still around. He has an arm sleeve. What, you know, what's going on there?
Tough guy now.
Yeah, jeez. Big tough guy.
You got any honorable mentions on you want to list?
I do. So a couple other guys that I used to hate. LeBron's teetering. I still have moments where I hate him and then other moments where I'm like, no, I don't hate LeBron. Don't say that. I don't hate LeBron. But yeah, him and A-Rod. Used to hate A-Rod.
Alex Rodriguez, that is? Not Aaron Rodgers? Okay.
No. I guess Aaron Rodgers is a very hateable guy. I don't hate him. But yes, Alex Rodriguez. Used to hate him. Paul Pierce. Hated him when he was on the Celtics. Now I could care less. And then my last one is current. I currently hate James Harden.
Yeah, I'm with
Every time he fakes a foul, I literally am like, F*** you, man.
He's unwatchable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not entertaining at all. My honorable mentions, I had Marshawn Lynch. For some reason, everybody's love affair with him, I didn't quite understand. Like, he was surly with the media, was boring. Like, had some years where he was good, but also had other years where he was not very good. So, I mean, he's beast mode on that one, like, big run and won a Super Bowl and eats Skittles. Like, that's his whole persona. I was like, all right, cool. Like, your job, I don't know. I'll leave it
with you. Marshawn's okay, but I see – I see your side.
Yeah. Gary Sanchez, the catcher for the Yankees, because he has a ton of talent, but he's super lazy and doesn't apply himself. And yet Yankee fans are always like, all right, Gary, he's coming around. I'm like, he's hitting 198. Why do you guys keep defending this guy? Oh, he hasn't run out another ball to first. Classic Gary Sanchez. I guess we'll just play it. Oh, and then he puts himself on the IL for the next 2 weeks because his hamstring was bothering him. No, he's hitting like 200. And then my last one is Joey Slogano. Sorry.
Oh, you hate Joey?
Slogano, man. Yeah, it's just he and Chase are in a rivalry now. I didn't like him before. Sliced bread
Chase,
is a dumb
you
nickname.
Hate Chase Elliott too?
No, Chase is my guy. So the whole like
right.
back and forth now between him and Slogano, I have to go team Chase.
You're gonna have to disavow because he hates the Slogano. It actually gets to him.
Wait, he hates it?
Yeah, remember they called him on part of my take, literally called him on the phone when they had Denny Hamlin on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kyle Busch, actually.
It was Kyle Busch like, that called him, yeah, yeah.
And Kyle's like, yo, I'm with the guys from part of my take. He's like, yeah, I know him. And they're like, yeah, we call you Joey Slogano. And he basically asked him, like, I'll be your guy or whatever if you guys don't call me that anymore. They're like, oh, sorry, we can't do it.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm all in on it. It's great. It gets him triggered and gets all Logano fans triggered. So Joey Slogano, yeah.
I also want to tell you, it's very, admittedly, I recognize since this has been the theme of our entire hate list, Joey Logano is a douche, a grade A douche.
Good. I'm glad you at least admit it.
He's a wiry little bastard, and he's just a northern little I can't get around with him, but I absolutely love him when he's in the car because I'm not sitting there dealing with his interview. My main thing with Joey is I was at his first ever race, and it was my first ever race in person. So I was like, hey, the dude in the Home Depot car took over for Tony Stewart in the Home Depot. Sweet. Yeah. Let's do it.
Makes
and
sense.
From there, I was like, that's my guy. So I'm loyal through and through. I saw him win live in Bristol, and that cemented me as a Logano fan for life.
You got me one up there. Never seen one of my drivers win in person, but maybe one day.
Yeah, it's because you don't root for Logano.
Yeah, I guess so. So
that's the trick. good amateur, and then he young guy still, so he's working on it. Just had his first kid, Scott. Give the guy a bone.
Yeah, he did. Whatever. Still don't like him. All right, that's our FU list of our sports guys that we don't like for whatever reason. We don't like them, and
we
all know.
Stoked to hear,
our
listeners.
This one should be a fun one, and that's what I was about to say. Chime in, follow us on Twitter. We'll be posting this at sportsbar_pod, and we want to hear your list because we know everyone has dudes, maybe even gals in sports that they cannot stand, and we want to hear your list. So let us know. Follow us on Twitter at sportsbar_pod. You can also follow Alex at aturco_23, myself at Scott Manzi, MANZE, two T's in Scott. And what do you say? This has been a good show. We'll put a wrap on it here, Alex.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I'm happy that we ended with something a little bit more riveting and exciting because I told you beforehand, you texted me today on what we're going to talk about tonight. I was like, dude, I can't do it. I don't have the energy anymore. I can't do any research on this. I can't read any more scenarios on what we can do to get in and out of this bubble or to make the bubble work. Next week, I guarantee you we're going to have something to talk about in regards to what it looks like because, like you said, these next 2 weeks are really, really impactful on how the NBA and MLB seasons are going to shake out. And I'm just praying it's good news because I'm fatigued. I need a happiness.
Dude, next week, are you kidding? We're going to be breaking down the MLS's back cup lineup as it gets started next week. So get ready for that.
Okay, well, off air, you're going to have to tell me what the hell that is.
All right. Just another sport that's trying to come back. I mean, we should be embracing all of them out there right now. And that's what I'm trying to do. So with that, we'll put a wrap on this episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. You can hear us, subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Give us a review and a rating if you don't mind on Apple Podcasts. That stuff actually helps out, helps get the word out, if you will. For Alex, I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. Got to make a grocery run.
Well, that sounds fun. Why am I out here risking my life? Corona, where's a goddamn parking space? Shit, I touched my face. Wait, I think I finally caught my corona. Stop it, don't be manic. Go inside.
No organic?
Oh no, all GMO. Jesus Christ, now I panic. I'll die. I. My corona.